Today's daf is Erechin daf Yud Dalit. Today we begin the third parak of Maseches Erechin. We are up to the beginning of the third parak, Yud Gimel Amud Beis, at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, just as the last parak was about various things that are never more than X or less than Y, and we had a series of Mishnayos in the last parak from all over Shas about items that you can say are never more than X or less than Y, and it all started with Erechin by saying that you can never give an Erech that's more than 50 shekel, nor an Erech that's less than an erech payment that's less than one shekel. So too, there's a topic in this parak that also takes us a little bit throughout Shas. Yesh be'erechin lahakel lahachmir. That erechin, the parsha of erechin, the chiddush of erechin, meaning the fact that there's a parsha of erechin, not just a parsha of damim, of taking a neder for the value of something, is sometimes a kula and it's sometimes a chumra. And we're going to go through a variety of other things that are also sometimes a kula and sometimes a chumra. Ubestei achuza lahakel lahachmir. The halachos of a steachuza, of a field, a person who's makdish, a field that he gets as an inheritance, is also sometimes a kula and sometimes a chumrah. And we're going to discuss the halachos of a steachuza as well. Just the basic idea is that during the times that Yovel is noheg, so anyone who sells his field to somebody else, the field would go back to its owners at the Yovel year. Pasuk says v'kidashim shnas hachamishim shana v'karas. So all the fields go back to the original owners at Yovel. So the pasuk says, "B'shnas Yovel azos tashuvu ishal achuzaso." A field that a person yarshins from his father is called a steachuza, and that goes back to him at Yovel. But if a sadeh mikna is a field that a person buys or is zocha, that's called a sadeh mikna. And by Yovel, he loses that field, and it goes back to the Bailim. So since the field goes back at Yovel, it turns out that anyone who sells a field during the time that Yovel is noheg is not actually selling the Guf HaKarka. He's only selling the rights to the Peros that field produces up until Yovel, but once Yovel comes, so then that field is going to be gone. So that's all he's really selling. So the Torah gives the right for anyone who purchases a field to redeem the field, meaning to pay for anyone who sells a field to pay to the Kona to get the field back in return. That geula is done bal karcho of the lokeach. Someone purchases a field, I can force him to sell it back to me, and the way to do it is by cheshbonning out the amount of money that was paid for the field, how many years there were between then and Yovel, and doing the math and having the field returned. That's the concept of geula. So that's the concept of geula. Now there is going to be a different concept of being makdish estei achuza and estei mikna. There's a special din that the Torah gives for a person who's makdish estei achuza, we don't evaluate the field based on its actual worth. Rather, we value it based on a certain erech that's determined in the Torah, whether the field is very expensive or whether the field is much cheaper. And that erech is that any area of land that's ra'ui to have planted in it, a chomer of sa'orim, a chomer is a kor, which is 30 sa'a of sa'orim, so that amount of land is valued at 50 shekel kesef b'shekel hakodesh, which is 50 slotim. That's the mechir. That's the value for the first year of a Yovel cycle. If you're going to have the land for 49 years, so it turns out that the value of each year is a sela and a pundion. So that's why a person is makdish steachuza. Pasuk says that you have to do the cheshbon based on that evaluation in order to get it back from Hegdish. So that's the basic idea of being makdish a steachuza. Fine. So let's see. So steachuza, the din, we'll get more into that later. The din of steachuza has both the kula and the chumra. Ubesharamuot sheim is ha'eved. The hakul lahachmir. The halacha is if a shor hamuot kills an eved, so you're chayiv to pay shloshim shekel. There's a knas that you pay a set amount every time. So that sometimes is a kula, sometimes is a chumra. But onas u'mafatav mosi shemra the hakul lahachmir. A variety of other cases where there's a knas. A man rapes a woman. He seduces a woman. He's mosi shemra on a a woman. So in all those cases, there's a knas. Sometimes that's a kula. Sometimes it's a chumra to have to pay that that knas. So now we're going to go through the Mishnah, so I can go through how each of those statements are true. So our Mishnah starts off with erechin. How is it true that paying an erech is sometimes a kula and sometimes a chumra? So yesh be erechin lahakal ha'achmer keitzad. How do we find that erechin is sometimes a kula, sometimes a chumra? Echot sheherechas hanoa shabi Yisrael v'sakor shabi Yisrael nosiv chamishim sela. Because it doesn't make a difference whether you are ma'arich, whether you vow to pay the erech of the most beautiful person in the Jewish people or the ugliest person in the Jewish people. The erech is going to be the same based on age and gender alone, so it makes no difference what they're actually worth. V'yamamar hare dama v'alai nosin ashavyo. But if you were to say that you're not going to pay the erech, you say you're going to pay the dama of, then you'd give what they're actually worth. So let's say the person is really legitimately they're worth 75 shekel, and you said that you're going to pay their erech, so then it's a kula, because had you said dam, you would have had to pay more. But if the person is legitimately worth 25, and you said you're going to pay the erech, and now you're paying 50 instead of 25, so now it's going to be a chumra. So sometimes it's a kula, sometimes it's a chumra. Okay, says the Gemara, yesh berech mahakel ulahach mirkeitz erech ucharech v'chulei. Why do we emphasize that you could be ma'arich, the most beautiful person in Klal, the best person in Klal Yisrael, or the worst person in Klal Yisrael, the ugliest person in Klal Yisrael? Why do we have to dafka say be Yisrael? Why not when we're identifying who you're being ma'arich, say the most beautiful person in Klal Yisrael, the ugliest guy? Why do we have to say dafka that you're paying the erech of a Jew? So maybe our Mishnah is taking a stand against the sheet of Rameir. If you recall, we had a machlokas whether you could be ma'arich a guy. Ditnan Ovid Kochav Rameir Omer Nerach Avalo Ma'arich. Rameir says that an Ovid Kochav could be Nerach, but you can be Nerach, but you cannot be ma'arich. The guy cannot be ma'arich. So Rameir holds that you are allowed to be ma'arich a guy. The guy could be the subject of the erech. So maybe our Mishnah is assuming that no, that a guy cannot be the subject of the erech, and that's why our Mishnah Dafka emphasizes that it's Yisrael, that when you want to go to the extremes of erechin, you talk about the greatest and the worst person in the Jewish people, because if you're talking about Goyim, then it's not Shaykh to be Ma'arich a guy. So our Mishnah seems to be going against Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara is going to have two answers, how the Mishnah could even be going like Rabbi Meir, and still the Mishnah emphasizes a Jew for some reason. So answer number one, Afilu Tamer Meir, Hu Adin Afilu Av Kachav Nami. We could even say we're going like Rabbi Meir. And really, the Mishnah could have spoken about being Ma'arich a guy, because you can be Ma'arich a guy. Elam Milsaga Vorche Kamash. But the Mishnah is trying to tell me a different chiddush. Kedrav Yudam Rav, Dam Rav Yudam Rav, Asu La'adam Sheyomar, Kama Na'a Kanani Zeh. It's coming to teach me the chiddush of Rav Yudam Rav that a person is not allowed to say, how beautiful is this Kanani? So that's why the Mishnah didn't want to fall into that trap of saying that whether it's the most beautiful guy or the ugliest guy, no, we're not allowed to say that. We're not allowed to say the most beautiful guy. So that's why we dafka talk in terms of Jews to avoid that isser. But it has nothing to do with whether you can be ma'aruch a guy. You can be ma'aruch a guy. So the listening is hanah should be solved as sakar shabbat kananim, but shouldn't there have been an easier way out? Couldn't the Mishnah have used a guy as an example when using the example of the ugliest, and use a Jew as an example when using the example of the most beautiful? So why doesn't it do that? So it says gmar b'chaduma kamari. The Mishnah likes to keep it consistent, so we like to stay within one nation when the Mishnah talks. B'treyuma lo ma'iri, we're not talking about two different nations. So frak the gemara, really? V'lo? Do we not talk about two different nations? Vaktani Hagadola Shabakuna Vesakatara Shabi Yisrael. We're going to have in the Mishnah later on when it talks about Onas and Mufata, Mosi Shemra, that the payment is going to be the same. The Kula and the Chorma over there is that the payment is going to be the same no matter who you did this to. Whether you did it to the most dignified woman, the Gadola Shabakuna, or whether you did it to the least dignified woman, the Ketana Shabi Yisrael. But I thought we're talking about one category. Kahuna and Yisrael are two totally different categories. So you want to say these Mishnayis try to stick within one category, and that's why it doesn't say the Na'ash of Yisrael and the Korosh of Kanani, the Korosh of Goyim, is because we try to stick within one category. Well, what about by the Kuhuna, by Onos Mufata, we say Gedolah of Kuhuna, Ketana of Yisrael, those are two categories. So says Gemara, no, Hasam Chadumahu, yeah, but it's two categories, it was one nation. El Makdashu de Kedishi Kohanim Tfei. It's just that Kohanim have a little more Kedusha. That's fair game. what we're not going to do is within the same Mishnah talk about two completely different nations. We're not going to split between Canaanim and the Jewish people. That's the difference. Fine, all of that was answer number one. The Gemara tried to say that our Mishnah could even be going like Rav Meir. The reason we don't mention Ovdei Chavim is because we'd rather not mention beauty in association with Ovdei Chavim, because it's Asal Adam Shiomar Kamen Noah Kanani Zeh. Answer number two, Vibay Seima, I did the Kabbalah Mr. Sefer, Ste Achuza, to be Israel, who do Mishkachas, above the Kavan, Lamishkachas, the Lavne Achuza, and who Mishamachi, Ketan, Labi Israel. The reason why we keep the conversation about Israel is because there are other examples in this Mishnah that are only Shaykh to Israel, that are not Shaykh to a guy, like Ste Achuza. Ste Achuza means something that you get as a Yerusha from your father. So by Yunovit Kavim, it's not Shaykh to say Ste Achuza. They're not B'nai Achuza. That's what Rashi says. There is no din ste'achuza by a guy that he's going to redeem the field with 50 shekel kesef. They don't really get a Yerusha in Eretz Yisrael. Says Tosfos, wait a second, the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin Daf Yud Zayin and Beis tells us that an Ovid Chavim is Yorish Aviv Dvar Torah, but still Mikamakam Loya Lehem Achuza Ba'aretz V'din Zalo Shayach Kiyim Ba'aretz Yisrael. So Tulsa says what Rashi said, but he explains why it's necessary to say this, that a guy does have Yerusha, but the point is the din of Steachuza, being Podel, Chamishim Shekel Kesef, is only in a field that one inherits along his family line in Eretz Yisrael, and that a guy does not have. This is a mitzvah atliya ba'aretz, this din of Steachuza. A guy doesn't have Nachla ba'aretz, he has his own Yerusha from his father in whatever land he's from, but not in Eretz Yisrael, and that's why it's not shaykh to talk about Steachuza in regards to a non-Jew. Now this halacha that it's also for a person to say kama na'a kanani zeh, how beautiful is this kanani? This is the primary source for this is Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah Daf Chaf, where the Gemara discusses the three isurim that are included in two words in the Torah, and the words lo sechanim, where the Torah says two words lo sechanim, and the Gemara dashens it means three different things. Number one, lo sitin lam chaniya bekarka, you're not allowed to sell land in Eretz Yisrael to a non-Jew. Number two, lo sitin lam matnas chinam, you're not allowed to give a free gift. But it's to emphasize the word free. You're allowed to give gifts because gifts are almost never free. But you're not allowed to give. You always expect something in return. You're always trying to build a relationship. But you're not allowed to give a free gift, something that's completely free. And number three, the one that we're emphasizing, lo sitin lahem chein, that you're not allowed to give compliments. You're not allowed to say things like how beautiful is this Ovid Kachavim. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden. So the lashon of the Gemara there is asal adam shiomer kamina ovedes kochavim zu. Speaks in terms of a female, in terms of a woman. That you're not allowed to say how beautiful is this Ovedes Kochavim woman. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden in his Chars and the Gemara over there says that our Gemara adds to the picture a little bit that it's not only an Isser about women of the Kochavim, it's a din that it's also to say about any guy Kamina Ovid Kochavim Zeh, and that's what's paskined in the Rif and the Rush over there, that it's also by an Ish as well, it's not only by an Isha. Why does the Gemara mention it in terms of an Isha in Maseches Avodah Zarah? Because that's more common, it's not so common to compliment a man's good looks, much more common to compliment a woman's good looks. In the Das Torah he writes that the Gemara over here is Muchach, that even Bestam it's Aser, meaning in that Gemara in Avodah Zarah, it sounds like if you identify a specific Ovid Kochavim and you give them a compliment, then it's Aser. Our Gemara makes it sound like even if you don't identify a specific Ovid Kochavim, you just say that there are Ovdei Kochavim who are beautiful, that itself would be an Isser. Because over here, the whole Nido and the whole discussion is why didn't the Tana of our Mishnah just use the term Hanasha B'Knanim? It's not really identifying anybody. There is somebody who's Nasha B'Knanim. It's just saying that if you take an Erech, no matter how beautiful the person, the Knani person that you're taking the Erech Veh would be, right, it would still be the same Erech. So that's not identifying anybody, and still the Gemara is assuming that had we said that, it would have been a violation of this halacha. So that's a tremendous chiddush in terms of the scope of this halacha. So the Ragachava writes, also from our Gemara, we could prove, like the sheet of the Rashba in Maseches Gittin Daf Lamed Chesam Beis that by Avadim there's no Isra of Lo Sichanim, because the whole Isra is this Isra, as we mentioned before, is based on the words Lo Sichanim, that you're not allowed to give Chain Be'inei Agayim. That's what the Gemara says, and that's how Rashi quotes it. So if there's if this Isra were true by an Eved as well, why is it that the Mishnah later on Daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis, the Mishnah is going to say Echad Shehemis as Hanah, when we say that the din of a shor killing an Eved is both a Kula and a Chumra, so the Lashon of the Mishnah is going to be whether you kill the No'esh Sheba Avadim Vesakor Sheba Avadim. So when it comes to identifying Avadim, we're not afraid to say Na'ah. We're okay with saying Na'ah, that there's such a thing as Na'ah Sheba Avadim. Must be, why is it when it comes to a guy, we are afraid to say Na'ah Sheba Kananim, because you're not allowed to say, it's Lo Sechanim to say Na'ah Sheba Kananim. Why aren't we worried about that by Avadim? Elamai, must be that by Avadim, there's no Isra of Lo Sechanim. Against the sheet of the Ramban that the Rashba quotes over there, the Ramban thinks that the Isra of Lo Sechanim applies to the Isra of Lo Sechanim applies to Avadim as well. Now it's a little bit of a difficult raya, because the Mishnah has to say that it's talking about Avadim, because the whole din of Shloshim Shkalim is only by Avadim, so there's no other tsura, there's no other way the Mishnah can emphasize this point, that it's Lahakal Lahachmir, other than to speak about Avadim. We have no choice but to speak about Avadim in that case, so it's a little bit of a difficult raya. Maybe the Gemara could have said the Chiddush, instead of saying No Sheba Avadim, could have said Gibor Sheba Avadim, or picked some other Maila that maybe isn't viewed as much of a compliment. Maybe that's what his raya is, but still a little bit difficult. The Tribune Rav says no. Maybe when you say Na'ah on an Eved, you're not referring to his beauty at all. You're referring to how much work he can do, and that itself is not an Isra of Lo Sechanim. It's only when you're saying how beautiful the person is, that's when it's a violation of Lo Sechanim. Okay, says the Mishnah Yudal Amar Aleph Mishnah toward the top. Where do we find by the din of Stei Achuza that it could be both a Kula and a Chumra? Echad Amakdish Becholas Hamachuz Ve'echad Amakdish Bepardeso Savsati. Whether you are Makdish a land in the least nice properties in Eretz Yisrael, or whether you're Makdish a land in the most beautiful and valuable properties of Eretz Yisrael. Cholos HaMachuz is identifying a particular city that's not Chashev at all, because there are a lot of people that walk in that area. Cholos means Svivos, the vicinity, and Machul Machuz is the name of a city. So we're saying Cholos HaMachuz, the vicinity of this city. Rashi says Lishna Achrina Machuz is the name of a place that had bad fields. Whatever it is, it means the same thing. In the area where there are bad fields, or whether you're Makdish Pardeso Savsati, which are considered to be very expensive vineyards, either way, no sin zerachomer sorim b'chamishim shekel kasef. The way to when you redeem that field, whether you're the Bailim, whether you're somebody else, it's based on evaluation of base chomer sorim b'chamishim shekel kasef. So if it's the beginning of the yovel, you pay that full amount, and you subtract one sel and a pundion for each year you are away from the yovel. But when it comes to sadim mikna that you want to redeem, then you would just pay its actual value. So sometimes that's more than the chamishim shekel kesef, and sometimes it's less than the chamishim shekel kesef. That's why the din of chamishim shekel kesef having a set amount is sometimes a kula, for instance when the field is very expensive, and sometimes a chumra for instance when the field is very cheap. Reb Lazar Omer, Echad Sadim Mikna Vechad Stei Achuza, Mabin Stei Achuza Stei Mikna. Reb Lazar says, no, Stei Achuza and Stei Mikna are all Niftes with that same amount. By Sadim Mikna, we don't just go with the value. So what is the difference between Stei Mikna and Stei Achuza? Shem Stei Achuza Nosin Chomesh, Shem Stei Mikna Nosin Chomesh. The difference is that when the Bailim is Poda, the Stei Achuza, he has to add a fifth onto the 50 shekel kesef that he pays. Whereas by Stei Mikna, the Bailim does not have to add a fifth onto the 50 shekel kesef that he pays when he comes to redeem it. But according to Rabbi Lazar, they both have a set amount. They both have that chamishim shekel kesef. So essentially what we have in the Mishnah, machlokas tanakam in Rabbi Lazar. If you are being poda, a Stei Mikna, is there a set amount, or do you just pay its actual value? When it comes to a Stei Achuza, everyone agrees, psukim in the Torah, that there's a set amount that the Torah determines that you pay to redeem a stay achuza. So says Maram Rav Huna, Hiktish Adam Ilanos, Kshu Podan Poda Ilanos Beshavian Vachozer Poda Karka Bezerachom Sarim, Vechmishim Shekel Kesef. If a person is Makdish, a field full of trees, so when you redeem that, you have to redeem the trees for what they are worth, and then you redeem the Karka based on the Chamishim Shekel Kesef valuation. Almuksav Rav Huna Adam Makdish by Nyeva Makdish. So it makes it sound like Rav Huna holds that when you're makdish a field with trees, you're actually making two separate things hegdish. You are being as generous to hegdish as one could possibly be. You're being makdish the tree separately and the karka separately, and therefore when you redeem the karka, the trees aren't covered in that redemption. You need to redeem the trees separately. So that seems to be Rav Huna's shita. So now the Gemara is going to ask three separate rayas against Rav Huna's shita. So Eisvei Rav Nachman the Rav Huna, raya number one against Rav Huna. Our Mishnah says whether you give from the least valuable lands or the most valuable pardesos. Now, what are pardesos? Pardesos are land that have trees in it, that are growing beautiful fruits in it. Still, you only give chamishim shekel kesef. So, doesn't that imply that you don't redeem the trees separately? That even with the trees, you still give only the chamishim shekel kesef? A kashon Rav Huna. So, Amalei Ru'il pardesos kamina. No, we're talking about land that's so valuable that it's ro'i to grow pardesos. But we're not talking about land that has that's an actual pardes. If we're an actual pardes, then ain't no chinami. Then in Achinami, Rav Huna would be right that you would have to redeem the trees separately from the land. We're just trying to make a tziur in the Mishnah of a very expensive piece of property. So we talk about a piece of property that has so many nutrients and such strong conditions that it would be ro'i to grow a pardes, and that would be an expensive piece of property. Second kasha on Rav Huna, Eisei Bezera, Ein Li Ela Bezera, Sada Gefanim, Sada Kanim, Sada Yilanos Minayin. I would only know that this din of paying the chamishim shekel kesef is true in a field where there's zera planted there. How do I know that if you plant vines or kanim or ilanos, that it also is included? Tamalomar sadim mikol makom, because the pasuk says sadim mikol makom. But don't you see from there that this din of paying the 50 shekel kesef is even if there are trees and other things in the field, it's still 50 shekel kesef for everything, including the trees. So I'm like, hachidami pod v'chazur pod. No, it's telling me that no matter what's in the field, there is a din of 50 shekel kesef. But if you want to redeem the actual trees in the field, you need to do a separate pidyon. We're just describing what type of field is included in the 50 shekel kesef halacha. Now, raya number three against Rav Huna, Eisvei hikdish shloshei ilanos mimata asar lebeisa'a. If a person does makdish three trees in close enough proximity to each other that if you had a beis sa'a, it would be at that same ratio, you would plant 10 trees. So hareza hikdish zakarka vasilana shebeinehem. So that's considered to be planting, that's considered to be makdish trees with their ground together with them, because they're planted at such a distance from each other that all that land is needed for the trees themselves. So the land is considered to go along with the trees. When you redeem them, you redeem the Beis Zerach Chomer Sarim for 50 shekel kesef. I mean, it sounds like even though there are trees there, you're redeeming it for 50 shekel kesef. You don't have to redeem the trees separately. Pachos Mikeno, yes, Alkein. But let's say the trees are less or more spaced out than the space that we just described. Oshek Dishon Bazeh Achazeh. Or if you're makdish them the one after the other, you're not makdish them all at the same time. So the hektish was not kona the karka, because there's no kinyan on the karka unless it comes together with gimel ilanos together. So then hareza lo hektish as a karka v'lo seilanos shebineim. Then you're only being makdish those trees themselves. We don't consider it that you're makdish the karka or any other trees that may be in between the trees that you specifically designated for hektish. V'lo od ala filu not only that, even if you're makdish your trees and then you're makdish then you're makdish the karka, where you could say, where you might have thought, okay, when you redeem it, the trees would be redeemed agav the karka. So in that situation, when you're poded, since you're makdish them separately, you need to be poded them separately as well. You need to be poded the trees separate from being poded the karka. But the bottom line is, we have a kashan rafuna from the first line over here, where we said that the first wide line, where we said that you're poded in a situation where you were makdish three trees that are spaced just right from each other, and the assumption is that the land in between them becomes sanctish as well. How do you redeem it? Chamishim shekel kesef. Sounds like you're redeeming the trees and the land at the same time. So that's and you don't have to redeem them separately. A kasha and Rav Huna. Rav Huna said you would redeem them separately because we view them as two separate akdeshos, the trees and the land. V'chitema, and you want to give the same kapat answer you gave before, that hachanami poda v'chazer poda, when he says that you pay the chamishim shekel kesef, means in addition to being poda the trees separately, you're poda the land itself for chamishim shekel kesef. No, that's not a viable answer over here, because I mean to save a poda v'chazer poda m'chal derei shalo, because that same brisa then gave another example where you would have to be poda the trees and the land separately. Sounds like in the first case that it's describing, you are not poda the trees separately. That is chamishim shekel kesef, and that's it. That covers everything. So don't tell me that it's poda v'chazer poda. The case of poda v'chazer poda is where you were makdish them separately, where you were makdish trees, and then you were makdish karka, trees that weren't spaced properly, and then you were makdish karka. That's where you poda v'chazer poda. But not in the case where you're makdish trees that are spaced properly, and the karka goes along with it. So this is a kasha and Rav Huna. So it says Gemara Ela Hamani Rabbi Shimon he. It must be that we're assuming like the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. Damer makdish bayin ra makdish meaning ein chinami. Rabbi Shimon goes against Rav Huna's shita. Rabbi Shimon holds that, or Rav Huna goes against Rabbi Shimon's shita. Rabbi Shimon holds that a person is makdish. We don't assume he's being particularly generous in his hekdish. So therefore, we don't assume that it's all one hekdish of trees and land. Titania hamakdish asasada hekdish askula. I'm sorry, we don't assume that it's two separate hekdishos like Rav Huna said of the trees and the land. In which case, you need to redeem them separately. How do we know that Rabbi Shimon holds that a makdish is always doing so stingily and not generously? Titania hamakdish asasada hikdish askula. Rabbi Shimon amlo hikdish alachar v'amorka v'sada nashikva. If a person is makdish a field, so Tanakama says you makdish everything, meaning everything that's in the field is included as well. And Rabbi Shimon says no, you're not makdish all the trees in it. You're only makdish the big old trees that are in the field, but not every little tree that's in the field. So you see, Rabbi Shimon holds that you're giving less, that you're makdish ba'ayin ra'a. Says Gemara, it would be really great to say that this brisa could just be chalked up to Rabbi Shimon, and we're assuming that you're makdish ba'ayin ra'a, but there's another statement in that brisa that's not going to work with Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon happens to have another shita. E Rabbi Shimon, emes seifa, the seifa goes on to say, v'lo orela filu hikdish ilanosa v'achar hikdish karka. The Seva goes on to give an example where you makdish the trees and then you makdish the karka. That when you redeem it, you redeem the trees for what they're worth, and then you redeem the land separately. But that can't be Rabbi Shimon who says that line, because the Rabbi Shimon lezel baser pidyon v'lifriku agavarayu. So Rabbi Shimon would say, since at the time of the pidyon itself, the karka is together with the trees, so the trees should be niftes together with the karka. Even though at the time you were makdish them, you were makdish them separately, Rabbi Shimon would hold, if at the time of the pidyon they're a single unit, you would be poda them together, because Rabbi Shimon does the baser pidyon. Rabbi Shimon always holds, we look at the conditions at the time of the pidyon, not at the time of the hekdish. So if we're always going to look at the conditions at the time of the pidyon, so in this case of the seifa, where you makdish the ilanos and then you makdish the karka, it should be one act of pidyon. Where do we find that Rabbi Shimon holds that we always go baser the shas a pidyon? We look at the conditions at the time of the pidyon, not at the time of the hekdish. So it will take us a while to get there. But Titania, there's a brisa that seems to prove this way, because the brisa says as follows: Minayim lokeach sada miyaviv. Let's say a person is in business with his father. He buys a field from his father. He does a business deal, transaction. He purchases a field. So keep in mind, this is a field this guy was going to inherit anyway. Let's say he's an only son. So he was going to inherit this field anyway. But he didn't want to wait till the father was dead. He wanted the field now. So he purchased the field from his father, lokeach sada me'aviv, v'ikdisha, and then he's makdish the field while his father's still alive. So normally if I buy a field that's not my inheritance, I just buy a field stam, and I makdish it. So I can only be makdish that which I own in the field. I only own the rights to use that field until Yovel. I can't be makdish beyond that because I don't own beyond that. But But a steachuza, I do own beyond that. I have it forever and ever. So what if I'm makdish a field that really would have been a steachuza, but I didn't wait for it to be my inheritance. I first bought it, and then I was makdish it. And then the father dies. How do I know that you could treat it like a steachuza, and therefore it's niftes biv chamishim shekel, and you're not poda it for its actual value, like you would a stay mikna. This is a steachuza that you're poda for 50 shekel kasef. Tamalomar ima stay mikna so asher lo mi steachuza so. So we darshan, when did you have a din of 50 shekel kasef by a sada she'inu ru'uya lios? I'm sorry. When do you have a din of poda b'shavio by a sada she'inu ru'uya lios steachuza, when the field couldn't be a steachuza? Yatzusha ru'uya lios steachuza div Rabbi the Rebbe Shimon, as opposed to this field which could be a steachuza. It just happens to be that it wasn't at the time that you were makdish it. That is the sheet of Rabbi the Rebbe Shimon. You could already see where it's going, where it's heading over here. Because what are we talking about? We're talking about a case where you were makdish it at a time where to you it was only a stay mikna, but you want to be podit now after the father's dead at a time where it is to you a steachuza. So what do we follow? Do we follow the shas hekdesho or the shas pidyon? And Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda say in this brisa that we follow the shas pidyon, that since at the time of the pidyon, that we follow the shas pidyon, that since at the time of the pidyon it was already a steachuza, you have already inherited it because the father died, so mela you would pay the 50 shekel kesef and you would not pay its actual value. But let's see how we actually spell it out in the Gemara. But you see, that's what we're trying to prove. We're trying to prove that Rabbi Shimon always looks at the conditions at the time of the pidyon. If that's true, again, keep cheshbon what we're trying to accomplish over here. If it's true that Rabbi Shimon only looks at the conditions of the Shas Pidyon, Rabbi Shimon could not be the author of this brisa that we quote in our third challenge to Rav Huna. The way that we rejected the challenge to Rav Huna was by saying, it's going like Rabbi Shimon, that Makdish Bayin Ra. No, because the brisa said a halacha where we assume that you look at a field not b'Shas Pidyon, you look at a field b'Shas Hekdesho. Rabbi Shimon happens told we look at a field b'Shas Pidyon. So Remeir Omer, but till we get there, we have to first finish this price. So Remeir Omer, Minayin lokeach sod me'aviv, umeis aviv va'achar kach hekdisha, Minayin shtel fanam k'steachuz. Remeir says, no, the case where it's still considered like a steachuza is if you bought it from your father, then the father dies, then you're makdishit, which means even at the time that you were makdishit, it was already a steachuza. So that's how Remeir learns. Where do you know that? Tam lomer, ima stei miknasau asher lo mi steachuza so. When is there a din of stay mikna when it's low mi steachuza so sada she'ena steachuza yatzu she steachuza over here? By the time you were makdishit, it was already your steachuza. So the ilu l'Rabbi Yehuda l'Rabbi Shimon afilu hikdish v'achach meis aviv steachuza havia. Now according to Rabbi Shimon, who were the first shita in this brisa, we said that even if you were makdishit before the father died, it would still have the status of steachuza when it comes to pidyon. My time, oh, why would it have the status of steachuza? So mishum kra, if you say, well, there's a pasuk. Pasuk says that something's only a stay mikna when it's lo mi steachuza so. Yeah, but the pasuk could be interpreted like Rav Meir interpreted the pasuk. Kra lechad Rav Meir huda asa. The pasuk could just be going like Rav Meir. So what motivates Rav Shimon to say that if you're makdish a field before the father died and then the father died, that you would redeem it as a steachuza and not a stay mikna? Elav mishum dazal basar pidyon. Question mark. You see that Rav Shimon says that you always look at the conditions at the time of the pidyon, not the conditions at the time of the hektish, and therefore the original brisa that we quoted, which said that you are poda trees and field separately, cannot be going like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon would say, since at the time of the pidyon, even though you were makdish the trees and the field separately, since at the time of the pidyon they were both in the possession of Hagdish, you would view them as one unit, because Rabbi Shimon says that we would go basar the pidyon. So says the Gemara, Amram Nachum Yitzchak, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Kra Ashku V'Darish. No, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon were based on the pasuk. It wasn't based on the svara that we always go basar pidyon. They darshan the pasuk. Why? So in Kain Lichtav Rachmana, what's the drasha from the pasuk? Why didn't they see the pasuk the way Rabbi Meir saw the pasuk? Because in Kain Lichtav Rachmana, im estei miknaso asher lo achuzaso. That's all the pasuk had to say. Asher lo achuzaso. But the pasuk adds an extra word. Asher lo misdei achuzaso. My misdei. Sada she'ena ru'i elios te'achuza. So Rabbi Shimon darshins that it must be that even that any field that's not ro'i to be a te'achuza is going to have a status of sada mikna. But any field that would have even been ro'i to be a te'achuza, even if at the time that you were makdish it was not yet a te'achuza because you had purchased it from your father and your father's still alive, still it would not be subject to the laws of te'achuza. Mikna would be subject to the laws of te'achuza. Fine, two dots. Yudalim Beis. Amrav Papa. Hikdish Tarushin Podim B'Shavyan. If a person is Makdish, stony land, rocky land, he's Podit for what it's actually worth. My time, why is that so? After all, normally we just say we follow the Chamishim Shekel Kesef. It says in the Torah. No, because when did the Torah say you have this din of Chamishim Shekel Kesef, the same, this set amount? Beis Zera, Amrachmana, Vanilav B'nei Zriya Ninu. The Torah specifically spoke about a land that can be planted. This land cannot be planted. Loga alan yotzen biyovel. My taima, if you do not redeem them, they go back at Yovel. Why is that true? Because Sadam Rachmana called the Humecher, because that, the Torah says, just says Sada, that by the halach of going back at Yovel, there's no din that it has to be Beis Zera, any field, and this is a field, so therefore it would go back at Yovel, it would have that halacha. Trash Nigal and Pachos Mishtei Shanim, you could redeem it less than 2 years after the sale, even though normally when you sell karka to your friend, you're not allowed to be goelit until 2 years, until it spends 2 years in the lokeach's possession. By Trashin, by rocky land, you are allowed to be goelit prior to the 2 year limit. My time, mispar shnei tvuos amrachmana v'alav bnei tvuah ninu. Because when the Torah describes the 2 year halacha, it speaks about tvuos. It speaks about 2 years of grain growing in the field. Well, rocky field that you can't plant anything in, obviously doesn't have any grain, therefore it's not subject to that halacha. Lo goalon, if you were not goelit, chazeres lebailim biyovel. Then it goes back to the bailim at the yovel year. My time, why should that be so? V'shavla achuzaso amrachmana v'hanami. Because over there it makes no mention of being able to grow anything or anything. All it says is that it's a shavalach uzaso, that it goes back to its inheritance, and such a field can be inherited. So as long as it's subject to general laws of inheritance, it would go back at Yovel. Fine. Hikdash ilanos podu b'shavya in my taima. When you're makdash ilanos, when you're makdash trees, you redeem the trees for what they're actually worth. Why is that so? Because bezera marachmana velo ilanos. Because the pasuk says bezera, pasuk does not say ilanos. So the din of chamishim shekel kesef is only on a place where you plant zera, not by ilanos. Logo alan ein yotzin the kohanim biyovel. If you do not redeem the trees do not go back to the kohanim to the kohanim at Yovel. Do not go to the kohanim at Yovel. Why? V'haya hasadam rachmana v'lo ilanos. Because the pasuk when it describes going to the kohanim at Yovel, if you were makdish, you're steachuza, that it goes to the kohanim at Yovel. That's only on a sada, not ilanos. The pasuk speaks in terms of a sada. Machar ilanos ein negalim pachtim mishtei shanim ma'itayma. Why is it that if you sell trees, you cannot be goel within the first 2 years? Shnei tvuos am rachmana v'hani b'nei tvuah ninhu. Because it says shnei tvuos and these are b'nei tvuah. Lo goalan ein chazeres lebailim biyovel ma'itayma. If you don't redeem them, they don't go back to the Bailim at Yovel. Why should that be so? Because it talks about land and not trees, so trees are excluded from that halacha. So Amar Mar, we had said previously, Hikdash Ilanos Pod B'Shavyan. If you matish trees, you pod them for what they are actually worth. Amai v'liktishu agavar ayu v'lifrakua agavar ayu. Why do we say that you matish them for what they're actually worth? Why don't we say that they become kadosh together with their land, and therefore you can redeem them together with their land? And if you say, no, you're only being makdish the trees, you aren't being makdish the land, but don't we know the halacha is that if you sell a dekel tree to your friend, he is kona all the way down to the depths of the ground under that tree, so there is land that necessarily comes along with that tree. So it says, lav mi yitmar ala baba. No, we said that's only in a case where he comes with a taina that when you sold me the tree, you specifically mentioned the karka. But otherwise, if you just stop and sell the tree, so it does not necessarily come with the karka underneath it. Sada mikna nosin shavyo. If when it comes to redeeming a sada mikna, a field that is not your inheritance, just a field that you bought, so then you pay its actual value. Tan rabbanan b'miksas mabalam l'fishinemer zera chomer sa'orim b'chamishim shekel. kesef, yachal afsa de miklakein. When the Torah tells me the din of a set amount of chamishim shekel kesef to redeem a field, I might have thought that a sada mikla is also in that category. Tamalomar michsas. Rabbi Lazar omer nemer kan v'chashav, nemer la'alan v'chashav. Ma'al alan davar katsav, afkan davar katsav. Rabbi Lazar says that we learn it from stay mikna and stay achuza, that both of them say v'chashav, so we learn that they both have a davar katsav. So yibayilhu. Rabbanan islu gzer shava, mafkin l'chomesh, odim alas l'gzer shava alas l'chomesh. Go back to our Mishnah. We had a machlokas in our Mishnah, whether a stay mikna is niftes with chamishim shekel, or a stay mikna is niknes at its actual value. So the Rabbanan who hold that a stay mikna is only niknes, is niftes but with its actual value, and not with chamishim shekel. Is it that they hold of this gzer shava that Rabbi Lazar uses to teach that it's niftes at the set amount, but they just don't apply the gzer shava the same way? They apply the gzer shava umafkin lechomesh. They use that gzer shava just to teach me the din of chomesh. Al dim lesu gzer shava lesu chomesh. Or maybe they just don't hold of the gzer shava at all, and therefore they wouldn't even hold of the din of chomesh. So merava mistaver lesu gzer shava. It's most mistaver that they don't hold of the gzera shava at all. Midgali rachman chomesh gabi stei achuza v'gabi makdash beso, because from the fact that the Torah dafka says the din of chomesh by stei achuza and by being makdash yibayis, savle shnei ksuv naban kechad v'kol shnei ksuv naban kechad ein melamdin. So then it takes on the status of shnei ksuv naban kechad, which you cannot apply to other areas of halacha. You cannot learn out to other areas of halacha. L'mand yamar melamdin, and if you do hold shnei ksuv naban kechad is melamdin, midgali rachman chomesh b'maiser b'behemet tahara b'behemet tameya. There are plenty of other places where the Torah says the din of chomesh. So avle tuva vein melamdin. Everyone has some limit where they'll start saying, okay, fine, ein melamdin. Then some people will say shnei ksuvim aban kechad is melamdin, but three ksuvim, four, five. That at a certain point, it's going to be ein melamdin. So the din of chomesh would be ein melamdin. Tanya kavase de Rava velo mitaimei. We have a brisa like Rava, but for a different logic. Tanya b'michsas ha'erkachay kishu akasav le'erchin ma erchin ein mosav chomesh afsa de mikna ein mosav chomesh. A brisa tells me the same halacha of Rava that you're not mosav chomesh for first day mikna, but because we learn it from erchin, not because of shnei ksuvim aban kechad. Next mission, b'sharmua shemus es eved lahakul lachmir ketzad. Sometimes there's a sharmua that kills an eved, so you're going to pay 30 shekel kesef. Sometimes that din is a chumra, sometimes it's a kula. Because echad shemus es anah shabavadim v'sakar shabavadim nosin shalshim sela. You always give 30 sela, whether it killed the most valuable or least valuable eved. Hemus ben chorin nosin shavya. But it kills a regular person, you pay the value of the person, whatever it might be. Chaval b'zeh o b'zeh nosin nezak shalim. But if it only injures a person, whether it's an eved or a regular person, you pay the full value of the injury that was caused, and there is no set amount. The din of a set amount is only when it kills an eved. So why do we dafka talk about a shor muad? B'muad in b'tam lo, is this din only by a muad where it says chaval bazeh o bazeh, that if it injures, only shor muad is going to pay when it injures? A shor muad, a shor tam also would pay when it injures. So lema masnis and delok Rabbi Akiva. Maybe our mission is taking a stand against Rabbi Akiva. Ditnan, Rabbi Akiva Omer, af tam shechaval ba'adam mishalim b'mosar nezek shalim. Rabbi Akiva says even a tam would pay nezek shalim. So maybe our Mishnah dafka wants to say no, only a muad pays nezek shalim. A tam would not pay nezek shalim. Maybe our Mishnah is taking a stand against Rabbi Akiva. Says Gemara, no, afilu tam Rabbi Akiva. Our Mishnah could even be going like Rabbi Akiva. Hu adin dafilu tam nami. And a tam also would have the same din in the last line of our Mishnah, that if it does nezek, it pays nezek shalim. But in the first line of our Mishnah, the tam does not fit. And that's why we dafka mentioned the shorim muad. Vaidi to kabal the Mishnah Seifa, hamis eved, hamis ben chorin, de bimuad hu de mishkachasla, bitam lo mishkachasla. Since the din of killing an eved and killing a ben chorin is only by a shorim muad kills an eved, you pay shlosh mishan kesef, not a shor tam. Shorim muad kills a ben chorin, you pay the full value, not a shor tam. So mishumach yiktani muad. That's why the Mishnah dafka emphasizes the case of muad and not a case of short time. Okay, but tomorrow we'll pick up at the mission on the bottom, but honestly, we'll be mafata.